or go to give to WBAI.org online. This is what we do here at WBAI on a daily basis, giving you a perspective that is definitely unique and distinct from our counterparts, both commercial and public media. Whether it's from the police state to the environment to misogyny, the economy, and everything else in between, with arts and with the arts and music as well too. This is what we do here at WBAI, and this is why you should support this radio station. Listeners like yourselves have been supporting this thing for over 60 years, 61 years to be exact. And if you haven't done so yet, please consider becoming a financial supporter to this radio station. 212-209-2950. I almost did it. 212-209-2950 or give to WBAI.org online. It is almost 1 minute past 6 p.m. Stay tuned for a special Ecologic Earth Day special coming up here on WBAI New York.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
As we always say, Earth Day is, every day is Earth Day. Officially, April 22nd is Earth Day, but we are covering Earth Week and beyond. This special Ecologic celebrates a very important time for environmental activists. So today, Ecologic covers some stories and events in the news.
We feel fortunate when we see the victories, like stopping a development that would destroy green spaces, shutting down destructive extreme energy horrors like Indian Point nuclear plant or the occasional pipeline, or the rediscovery of an animal or plant species that was thought to be lost, like the black-browed babbler in Indonesia. But we know there is always more to do. We cannot let the victories make us complacent. The common threads are corporate greed and a system built to reward the wealthy and powerful.
We do realize that environmental justice is a huge factor. It is always the powerless that are stepped on and not expected to fight back. Well, you are making a difference. You, the WBAI listeners, are the kind of people who make your voices heard. As Pete Seeger said, participation, that's what's going to save the human race.
And this is Tim Keating. Power manifests in inequality. The least powerful have the least voice. Yesterday, a jury gave voice to the disempowered, but we know that if justice were real, George Floyd and many others would be alive today. There is so much more work to be done. And here at Ecologic, we focus on issues of environmental justice and protection.
Be careful when you are invited to some wonderful green event, especially around this Earth Day time of year. They are washing their image with your hopes and wishes for a greener tomorrow. There is a group of well-known clothing companies owned by one of the most polluting of corporations that are big in world deforestation and fossil fuel. Be forewarned.
And now for the news. Mayor de Blasio has appointed Ben Furness as director of the Mayor's Office of Climate and Sustainability. City Hall says the new office will work to reduce New York's climate change contributions. Mr. Furness most recently served as deputy director of the Mayor's Office of Policy and Planning.
Mayor de Blasio has joined climate activists and several lawmakers in announcing his opposition to the controversial replacement of two peaker power plants using fracked gas, including one in Gowanus. The Astoria Generating Company, that's AGC, which operates two power plants located on six barges at the entrance to the Gowanus Canal, wants to replace its aging electric generating stations with new units that would make use of fracked gas. AGC says the proposal, which requires approval from state siting board controlled by Governor Andrew Cuomo, will make its energy generation cleaner and more efficient. But de Blasio says he's against both this project and a similar proposal by NRG in Astoria, arguing that they will prolong the city's reliance on fossil fuels instead of facilitating a transition to renewable energy.
Mayor Bill de Blasio has come out against NRG Energy's proposal to overhaul its Astoria power plant, saying that plant should be nixed since the plant could rely on fossil fuels. He joins more than a dozen elected officials who have come out against the proposal over the last year, arguing that the plant should tap into renewable energy sources. Yay! NRG plans to replace its 50-year-old Astoria generation station with a natural gas-fired generator, that it says would significantly reduce its carbon footprint at the site. But the mayor and other elected officials argue that the plant should rely on green energy.
Their reactors at Indian Point are closing on April 30th. New York Public Service Commission, PSC, has negotiated an agreement to accept Holtec as the decommissioning company. Although the deal is better for the public than most, many environmental groups are really concerned. One reason is that highly radioactive waste will be stored in Holtec's dangerous thin-walled canisters. Also, the Decommissioning Oversight Board, for which advocates lobbied hard, is still delayed by the PSC. We will discuss this with Marilyn Ellie, longtime advocate for safe closing and decommissioning of Indian Point, on the next Ecologic show, that same closing day, April 30th. There's also an online event hosted by Clearwater, Riverkeeper, and NRDC, among others, also that evening.
So here's a story that's near and dear to my heart. As some of you might recall, I directed Rainforest Relief for 26 years, most of that time in New York City. And our big fight with the city was over the use of tropical hardwoods. Well, in 1991, we began working to fix the New York state law that had at that time just passed, which was supposed to bar the purchase of tropical hardwoods by state and local governments within New York. We were trying to close two loopholes that were amended into the bill as it was running up to passage. One of which made the list that was supposed to be exemplary, turned it into the list of banned tropical hardwoods. Thus, New York City was able to continue to use large amounts of Ipe, Kumaru, Greenheart, and Eki, all of which are logged from primary rainforest, for things like the boardwalk, the Staten Island ferry terminal pier, and et cetera, subway track ties. So we've been working for over a year with State Senator Liz Krueger on a bill that would amend this, the old bill, plus do even more. Just a few days ago, the Times Union ran an op-ed by State Senator Krueger regarding the bill that she and Assemblyperson Ken Zebrowski have introduced, titled the Deforestation-Free Procurement Act. That's S-5921. The bill would require all state contracts for products containing forest risk commodities to be certified as not driving the deforestation and degradation of intact tropical and boreal forests. Already more than 500 leading companies in these sectors have adopted voluntary policies to eliminate deforestation from their supply chains. However, report after report shows that these voluntary policies aren't enough. This measure would ensure that New York State would stop funding ecological destruction, provide incentives for much-needed supply chain transparency, and stimulate stronger action by companies whose business models are putting forests and all who rely on them at risk.
Divest New York announced its campaign to pass the Teachers Fossil Fuel Divestment Act, that's S-4783 and A-6331, Senator Jabari Brisport and Assembly Member Anna Kellis introduced this bill, which requires the New York State Teachers Retirement System, that's NYSTRS, to divest holdings from coal, oil, and gas companies. Comptroller DiNapoli divested the New York State Pension Fund from coal in July and just completed divestment of tar sands last week, citing financial risk to pension funds, and Governor Cuomo has stated support for divesting the state pension fund and has directed public authorities, including the state insurance fund and the MTA, which with assets of more than $50 billion to divest. Comptroller DiNapoli is reviewing and assessing each fossil fuel subsector. The first review, targeting the coal subsector, was completed earlier this year, resulting in divestment from 22 companies. Last week, Mr. DiNapoli announced divestment from 7 tar sands companies. He will review fracking companies, oil majors, fossil fuel, service companies, oil and gas transportation, and pipelines. Reviews and divestments will be completed by 2025. Great news.
Yay. The EPA has announced a series of White House Environmental Justice Advisory Council, that's WHEJAC, public meetings with confirmed dates of April 28th and May 13th. Meetings will be approximately 4 hours each from 2 to 6 p.m. Members of the public are encouraged to provide comments relevant to the specific issues being considered. Registration is required. Registration to speak must be submitted 1 week before the meeting. Written comments submitted by that time will be distributed to WHEJAC members in advance of the meeting. Written comments should include a brief description of the concern and what you want the council to do. To listen only, registration is possible until the scheduled meeting end time. All on our website. Meeting topics include, but are not limited to, discussion and deliberation of draft recommendations to the chair of the Council on Environmental Quality and the White House Interagency Council on Environmental Justice. The public comment portion of each meeting begins at 5 p.m. Questions may be sent to Karen Martin by email at whejac@epa.gov or by phone at 202-564-0203.
Felix Salmon has written an article on Axios.com about the decline of Exxon's financial value that is strongly linked to their ideological stance against renewable energy. Quote, Exxon has lost 54% of its value this year alone. That's some $163 billion. ExxonMobil might be the first empire to fall as a result of global climate change. It won't be the last, unquote.
Article by Stop the Money Pipeline's co-coordinator, Alec Cannon, in Salon points out that, in a particular Orwellian moment, big banks loaned money to an oil giant under the guise of a sustainability loan. He notes that 14 months ago, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink wrote a letter warning that climate change was on the verge of fundamentally reshaping the financial sector, suggesting that the sector could have an effect on preventing climate change if only it changed its investments. But Wall Street firms continue to loan trillions to the companies most responsible for causing climate change. The Banking on Climate Chaos report shows that since the Paris Agreement was signed in 2018, JPMorgan Chase alone has loaned more than $317 billion to the fossil fuel corporations. That's more than the market capitalization of Chevron and BP combined. So what has changed? Well, banks are not lending directly to fossil fuel projects. As of February 2020, JPMorgan Chase has not made loans for particular drilling projects, but they still make general purpose loans to the same companies that drill in the Arctic. And Chase is not alone. Last month, after climate campaigners launched a concerted effort to convince banks not to fund Enbridge Energy's Line 3 pipeline, a coalition of major banks agreed to cancel a $2.2 billion loan to Enbridge and replaced it with an $800 million sustainability-linked loan. As Mr. Cannon says, quote, "Unfortunately, it appears that for all the noise Wall Street has made on climate in recent months, the only division within the finance world that has been fundamentally reshaped by that climate crisis is its PR departments," unquote. There have been recent actions across the country as part of a hashtag All Eyes on BlackRock campaign. Check our website or search the hashtag for inspiring protest photos and a link. Donna?
Tim? CBS News reports that oil-rich Texas leads the nation in wind power, and last year, for the first time, the state produced more energy from wind turbines than from coal. The Lone Star State is quickly becoming the blueprint for a new type of blue-collar worker. Paula Harris, who recently retired from oil and gas, is now training for a new challenge and says, "I think this is part of the future." Paula. Lone Star College and WorkRise are running a training site for renewable jobs. It's about getting them their next job, staying with them through the course of their career, said WorkRise CEO Juan Young. In international Earth news, South Korea is financing the expansion of an Indonesian coal-fired power plant to be built by an ailing South Korean company. Activists view it as an attempt to prop up the firm and boost ties with Southeast Asia. Local residents are concerned about health effects and damage to the area's fisheries, saying after unloading coal from the barge, the mixture of seawater and coal dust is thrown back at sea, and that's what makes fish die. Proponents of the planned project say that the massive investment will stimulate economic growth at the national and local levels. Reportedly, though, local residents were not allowed to give input during the planning process. Doesn't that sound familiar? In South Korea, there has also been debate about whether the Indonesian plan should go forward using South Korean public money, especially since the country is itself shifting away from fossil fuels. In fact, the government has been criticized for providing massive public funds to foreign coal projects while domestically phasing out coal. Talk about a mixed message there.
Breaking news, all fossil fuel projects are inherently racist. In a report put out by Greenpeace, Gulf Coast Center for Law and Policy and Movement for Black Lives. All fossil fuel projects have effects on the local communities that cause cancer, asthma, heart disease, and inflict systemic racism at the same time. To close the news, the Wall Street Journal finally admits oil companies have for decades made money by extracting carbon from the ground. Now they are trying to make money putting it back. News that energy giants such as ExxonMobil Corporation and Royal Dutch Shell PLC are pushing carbon capture and storage. Heard about that before, where carbon is gathered and buried underground to reduce both their own and their customers' emissions. Executives say the service could become a new source of income. Oil companies have long captured carbon from their operations, and now they want to sell that service to heavily polluting industries like cement and steel, burying their carbon in the ground indefinitely for a fee. Critics question the environmental benefits and high costs of such projects, seeing that the carbon in the ground is contaminating the earth. But Exxon sees this as a potential $2 trillion market by 2040. The Northern Lights project of Shell and other companies, backed by the Norwegian government, is set to be the first time companies outside the oil industry will be able to pay to have their carbon gathered and stored.
Tim, you have a piece on slow wood.
That's later on. I'm going to put that in the announcement.
Okay.
That's okay.
All right.
Upcoming show.
You know, there are a lot of events happening around Earth Week. Here are just a few.
Morningside Park are celebrating Earth Day 2021, Restore Our Earth, by hosting a community park cleanup day. They'll remove trash, rake leaves, and prepare the park for planting season. This is Thursday, April 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and they're adhering to all pandemic guidelines. You can join them at the pond inside Morningside Park.
On the other end of the city, Earth Day volunteer litter cleanups are happening in the Rockaways at Bay 32nd Street and Beach Channel Drive in Bayswater Park on Thursday, tomorrow, April 22nd, from 11 a.m. till 12 noon, and then on Sunday, April 25th, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon at Marine Park in Brooklyn.
Again, on April 22nd, Thursday, Create for Peace, a nonprofit organization based in New York, presents artists for a Green Planet virtual retreat. It's a full-day celebration for our planet. The public will join this global artist network and speakers for reflections on energy, sustainability, and the environment. Activities include healthy minds, healthy hearts for a healthy planet, time for meditation and yoga, a virtual exhibition, Restoring Mother Earth, showcasing more than 100 artworks from around the globe, and a broadcast of the film Kintsugi, featuring the Berber people's lifestyle in the Sahara Desert and the Atlas Mountains, and their turn to natural resources as their only livelihood source. Fabulous. The day will wind down with a global prayer and chants at a dedication to our planet.
The Environmental Action Lab will be gathering and cleaning up trash in Prospect Park at 11 a.m. tomorrow, April 22nd. Also, starting at noon, April 22nd, the 51st Earth Day has a giant digital celebration. Tune in on earthday.org in between checking out local events, outside and virtual.
Staten Island events. You may join the Staten Island Museum online at noon tomorrow. Again, April 22nd, Earth Day, yay, for a citywide Skillshare celebrating Earth Day. Enjoy a robust collection of video tutorials and presentations by local experts, enthusiasts, and professionals, a virtual science fair featuring a range of activities for all ages and skill levels. The museum invites you to celebrate our community's know-how, learn something new, and help protect the only world we have.
Mm-hmm. And from noon till 3 on Saturday, April 24th, the Staten Island Zoo is hosting the Party for the Planet. The annual event brings together conservation organizations to highlight the many ways that we can be a part of helping our environment. The event is free with admission to the zoo.
Okay. And climate change groups in the Capital District will observe Earth Day, April 22nd, with a rally in front of Congressman Paul Tonko's office in Albany from 4 to 6, asking Representative Tonko to become a climate champion. The colorful events, the tides are rising and so are we, will urge the congressman to say no to fossil fuels and yes to 100% clean energy by 2030. The groups want Tonko to amend the Clean Future Act to reject false clean energy solutions such as fracked gas, carbon capture technology, and garbage incineration. The rally is sponsored by PAWS, that's People of Albany United for Safe Energy, Upper Hudson Green Party, Food and Water Watch, Extinction Rebellion, Save the Pine Bush, and others. There will be speakers, music, and artwork.
Also
in the Capital District.
Go ahead, Tim. Take it
also
away.
In the Capital District, honoring the spirit of Earth Day, the North Troy Environmental Justice Film Festival presents a slate of grassroots media projects with the lofty goal of changing the world. I think many of us share that goal. From April 21st through May 5th, a series of free online events will highlight the struggles of, quote, ordinary, unquote, people from Cohoes, New York, to Arica, Chile, who are confronting corporate polluters and seizing control of their own destinies. Organized by the Sanctuary for Independent Media, the festival honors the epic struggle against multinational capitalism by working people with everything to lose and nothing to gain but what they already have, health, home, and happiness. Look for the schedule online at North Troy Environmental Justice Film Festival or find the link on ecoradio.org.
There's
festival.
A sustainable...
I attended one last week at the Princeton Library. The Princeton Environmental Film Festival is an annual event, and really check it out next year because it's a shame to have missed it.
Thanks, Sally. So there is a sustainability symposium at 2021, Into the Light. It's hosted on April 21st through tomorrow, the 22nd, by Green Builder Media and leading sustainability experts, climate scientists, building industry influencers, and business executives. They explore fundamental shifts in our collective psyche resulting from the pandemic and the urgent choices that we need to make to create a just, sustainable, and climate-safe system, one that balances economic vibrancy with social justice and environmental stewardship. Search on Facebook for the link, and I'm grateful to Adam Weissman for bringing that to our attention. You are listening to WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
All right. So upstate, let's travel to New Paltz. New Paltz Climate Action Coalition and Overlook Mountain Center present Sites of Significance, Native American Ceremonial Sites in the Hudson Valley, and the History of Danskammer Point. That's tomorrow, April 22nd at 6 p.m., at which you can learn about the original caretakers of this land from local scholars and leaders from Native American communities. RSVP is on our website, and I just wanted to add that Danskammer is the site of a power plant that we are working really hard to prevent the expansion of this damaging, polluting power plant in Newburgh, a city that's already dealt with so much. And check out previous programs on our Ecologic page for the story of Dance Camera.
And over here on my side of the Hudson, there's a lot happening in New Jersey this Earth Week, both outdoors and virtual, including Quick Actions Daily, a multi-day native plant sale and programming by the Pinelands Preservation Alliance down near the shore, programs from Pay Up Climate Polluters New Jersey and Empower New Jersey, and a Northeast Earth Coalition presentation, Gardening from the Bird's Perspective, teaching you how to make your backyard hospitable to those migrating songbirds, with Essex County Master Gardener Deb Ellis, and many more. Check out 350 New Jersey Rocklands New Jersey Earth Week calendar, lists events from approximately 20 nonprofit and grassroots organizations here in the Garden State.
The 13th annual World Peace Earth Day celebration is taking place online this year due to the coronavirus. It will be on Thursday, April 22nd from 6 to 9:30 p.m. on Facebook Live and Zoom. For 12 years, Planet Heart's annual World Peace Earth Day celebration has brought diverse speakers and performers together for inspirational evenings of celebrating and honoring Mother Earth. This is one of the largest growing grassroots annual New York City Spiritual Earth Day communities, Earth Day on Facebook, search World Peace Earth Day on Facebook, or go to www.ecoradio.org. And I do want to shout out to appreciate World Peace Earth Day for hosting New York City Friends of Clearwater at their events for all these years.
Just a quick note, you may have noticed that Ken Gale is not with us tonight. He's feeling a little bit under the weather, so if things are a little slow getting up on the website, they'll be there. Keep watching for us, and we send him all the best wishes.
Okay, our next event, Extinction Rebellion NYC, has lots of events for Earth Week. Tomorrow is their Climate Cafe at 7 p.m., followed by workshops, trainings, and talks through April 27th. They have programs through early June, so check our website for a link to join these dedicated activists. For those new to the group, the next scheduled orientation call is on May 12th.
The Campus Fossil Fuel Divestment Movement is hosting Beyond Earth Day, Revolutionary Climate Justice, a virtual rally this Friday, April 23rd. Their keynote speaker is Michelle Brass of the Yellow Quill First Nation, a committed activist for Indigenous food sovereignty, climate change, Indigenous health, and personal healing and transformation. The registration link for the event will be on our website, ecoradio.org. You can also find them on Facebook.
Join the No North Brooklyn Pipeline Coalition, along with Frack Out of BK and the Indigenous Kinship Collective, on Sunday, May 2nd at 2 p.m. for a combined action against the North Brooklyn fracked gas expansion and Line 3 in Minnesota. We're all linked. The North Brooklyn Pipeline plan would include the trucking of liquefied natural gas through the streets of Brooklyn and beyond, 260 degrees below zero gas stored in a tank. Very dangerous and completely illegal after a terrible accident in the 40s that killed 40, in the 70s that killed 40 people. So we will meet at McCarran Park at the corner of Bayard and Leonard Streets in Williamsburg for a roving rally in a car, bike, skate, walking caravan to Fire Department of New York firehouses near the liquefied natural gas facility in Greenpoint. And the reason that we are focusing on these firehouses is the immense danger to firemen and firewomen in the event of a puncture of one of these trucks that would both scald, cause frostbite, and asphyxiate anybody within reach. will also mark, and the fire department of New York has the authority to stop this plan. We will also march along this route for solidarity action against the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline. This is a fight organized by indigenous tribes led by the White Earth Band of Ojibwe and the Red Lake Band of Chippewa Indians against the Canadian company Enbridge and their tar sands pipeline in Minnesota. In related news, the police force in Minnesota have complained that Enbridge has controlled an escrow fund targeted for resisting protesters, and even the police don't want Enbridge to have the control over how that money is to be spent. Enbridge being merged with Spectra, who used their police forces when we fought the Algonquin incremental pipeline up by Indian Point. It's all connected, and Minnesota is ground zero right now.
For a lot of things.
Yes, exactly.
Metro Area Governors Island Coalition, that's MAGIC, is reminding us that the City Council vote on the unacceptable upzoning proposal for Governors Island is coming up very soon. So those of you in New York City, look for the social media campaign on Earth Day, Thursday, April 22nd, with hashtag Earth Day Action NYC, as the coalition works to protect vital at-risk green spaces for all New Yorkers, and continue contacting your council member to make it clear that this proposal must be withdrawn. Let the citywide candidates and your local candidates know if they want your vote, you want their commitment to protecting New York City's at-risk green spaces.
Speaking of green, save the frogs. World Summit Online. This year's World Summit will take place around the clock and around the world from approximately 3 p.m. Friday, April 23rd through 3 p.m. Saturday, April 24th.
Thanks to Paul Sladkiss and Good News Network for the next two items. First, when the roads emptied of traffic in March and April because of the COVID-19 pandemic, Bay Area residents, that's San Francisco, reported hearing more birds, and they were halfway right. Jennifer Phillips, a researcher at Cal Poly, and Elizabeth Derryberry, a professor at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, collaborated to evaluate whether and how songbirds responded to the quieter environment with much less traffic. Seeing photos of an empty Golden State Bridge, Derryberry, the lead researcher, was struck with just how little traffic there was and wondered how changes in human behavior might affect wildlife and what the noise reduction might mean for songbirds. They found that the birds responded by producing softer songs that could travel over a larger distance unimpeded by noise. The urban songs also became sexier in terms of vocal performance, meaning birds sang a wider range of notes in their song in a wider bandwidth during the shutdown. The team then compared those samples to the ones collected since 2012. During the statewide shutdown, traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge returned to levels not seen since 1954. The dramatic reduction of vehicular traffic erased a half century of urban noise pollution. Wouldn't that be nice all the time? The rush hour roar was more like a gentle sporadic purr, Phillips said. It was quite peaceful. When the birds don't have to compete with loud background noise, they can essentially sing more quietly but still communicate over greater distances, approximately twice as far, Phillips said. Wow. This helps explain media reports suggesting that bird songs sounded louder during shutdown and that people were more aware of the birds around them. Birds were actually singing more softly, but it was so quiet they sounded louder.
Also, In celebration of Earth Day 2021, a new documentary, The Year Earth Changed, was released, narrated by award-winning broadcaster Sir David Attenborough. During this most difficult year, many people have reappraised the value and beauty of the natural world and taken great comfort from it, said Attenborough. But the lockdown also created a unique experiment. Less noise, less fume in the air. Creatures around us have flourished, by and large, in the last year. Whales have been able to vocalize to their young much easier with no cruise ship nearby. Sounds like the birds. The parents could travel farther to feed, knowing their young could hear them. Scientists had never heard some of the sounds. Mm-hmm. From witnessing whales communicating in new ways, to hearing new bird songs in cities, to encountering capybaras in South American suburbs, people all over the world have had the chance to engage with nature like never before.
For Earth Week, Defend the Gulf is having a week of action, as are many other groups in regions all the way across the country. If you have a particular distant space that's very meaningful to you and you'd like to participate with them, just look online and surely there'll be a way to connect.
So there's some fossil fuel infrastructure that deserves our attention. The New York Department of Environmental Conservation has made a tentative determination to renew the Air Title V facility permit for the Woodhull Compressor Station, which, in addition to compressing methane for underground storage and transport through transmission pipelines, includes a 27.5 million BTU per hour methane-fired boiler and an 814-horsepower methane fire generator. And by the way, methane is that other word for natural gas. As we know, burning fossil fuels emits not only tons of carbon dioxide, but also nitrogen oxides, sulfur dioxide, formaldehyde, fine particulates, and other pollutants. Exposure to these chemicals can cause respiratory and cardiovascular diseases, neurological and developmental diseases, and cancer. Longtime activist Annie Wilson described these kinds of permits as permission to pollute. According to P.N. Russo and D.O. Carpenter, two scientists with the Institute for Health and the Environment, New York State's 18 compressor stations are the seventh largest point source of air pollution in the state. Their report shows that, quote, every compressor station routinely releases large volumes of an array of chemicals and fine and ultrafine particles, unquote. DEC's current draft permit is an extension of the Part 201-6, that's Title V, long-standing permit with a few minor adjustments and will allow the continuation of hazardous pollution that the plant has enjoyed for years. These permits regulate emissions in excess of 10 to 100 tons per year of these deadly chemicals.
Wow. The DEC will determine whether to hold a hearing based on the comments it receives by this Friday, April 23rd. If comments received do not raise significant issues that must be addressed, the DEC will issue their draft as a final permit. It has also been determined, the DEC says, that the proposed action is not subject to CP29, which provides guidance for incorporating environmental justice concerns into the NYDEC permit review process. However, Woodhull in Steuben County is very close to the Pennsylvania fracking fields 5 miles south. With 19.4% of Woodhull residents in 2019 living below the poverty level, this project in Woodhull would seem to fit into the CP29 consideration. So please, comments are needed by this Friday, April 23rd.
We are taking special note of a virtual launch tonight. The United Federation of Teachers is launching its carbon-free and healthy schools campaign to convert all New York City schools to cleaner, cheaper solar energy. Yay! Ecologic Collective member Joel Landy, who's attending tonight, will tell us more about it on a future show. Yay, Joel.
Yay. Here's more about what we're thinking about for the future. Tim,
on August 18th. Okay, thanks, JK. On August 18th, 2020, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, that's the USDA, published a petition by researchers at the State University of New York College of Environmental Science and Forestry, they call that the ESF, seeking federal approval to release their genetically engineered Darling 58, that's a D58, American chestnut tree into the U.S. forest. Researchers claim the transgenic D58 tree will resist the fungal blight that, coupled with rampant overlogging, devastated the American chestnut population in the early 20th century. Sounds like some good news. However, others see the GE American chestnut as a Trojan horse meant to open the doors to commercial GE trees designed for industrial plantations. So in an upcoming show, we'll bring in Ann Peterman, the executive director of the Global Justice Ecology Project, who wrote this article to discuss this and other issues around GE trees.
On another note, in the United States Park Service, NPS, and the International Dark Sky Association, IDA, have announced that Mesa Verde National Park has been accredited as the 100th International Dark Sky Park, recognizing the exceptional quality of the park's night skies and including more astronomy-based interpretive programming. Look for an upcoming Ecologic on dark skies.
Dark Sky Week last week, the 5th through the 12th. Next week, you will be sure to do a show specifically on that.
We certainly need to protect our parks.
We recently
did a show on plastics in the ocean with Stephen Andrews. Further research revealed an October 2020 study pointing out that microplastics in the soil are even worse than the microplastics in the oceans, which are pretty bad by themselves. So this is definitely an area that we will be covering.
A study was done in China on that topic with four sections of land set aside for different levels of plastic contamination. And they found that although the bacteria and the viruses that lived in the soil were pretty much, the bacteria and the yeasts were pretty much able to withstand the damage done by the plastic pollution, the microscopic creatures, the arthropods, the little worms, were no longer able to digest soil and process it through their bodies because, as in the ocean, these creatures were becoming clogged with bits of plastic.
We've all seen what plastics can do to the stomachs and the death of marine animals. We've all seen those articles. Think about it, being that harmful even on a micro level, on the level of killing worms that are like sort of the insects are the basis of the health of our planet. Oof.
Yeah, I just was reading the Audubon magazine from either this month or last, and they were talking about the albatrosses on a Pacific island, and I think they said something like 48 grams of plastic in their stomachs, and they're done. But of course, death isn't the only problem. They get sicker and sicker the more of the plastic that they eat.
And the larger animals that eat them, and the larger animals that eat them, and we can't be complacent and think that it's not going to affect us, folks.
Yeah, you know what happens is the fossil fuel companies who are seeing the handwriting on the wall, they see that renewable energy is getting less expensive and it's cleaner and everybody wants it. So they're looking for another way to make money. So they're looking at ethane. They're looking at cracker plants. They're looking at, you know, recreating another petrochemical alley in Pennsylvania the way they have on the Gulf Coast, Louisiana and Texas,
which is
companies are doing anything to keep the poison going.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable, and they actually see plastics as one commodity that actually might keep fracking going, which is just
right. You know how they, you see how they keep pushing us into more single-use plastics and you know, plastic this and disposable that. No, it's
all under the promise of being able to recycle it, which it is. It is not. Most plastic is not recyclable.
Yeah, I think we've recycled like 8% of it, of all the plastic we've ever generated in the world since the 50s.
So when you see a number on the bottom of your plastic container and that reassures you that that number six, that number five, that number three, whatever, is going to go into a separate category where that will be processed, that was a deliberate scheme by the plastic industry to make the consumer believe that all of these plastics that had numbers on them were recyclable. And indeed,
and even
only
if you go to one,
one
of
and
the,
two.
Yeah. If you go to one of the places where they process these things and you look at this dirty garbage of everything all mixed together and watch them try and separate it, it's all contaminated. It's very little use to anybody. And, you know, the, especially the plastics that have multi-layers of multi-materials, there's no way they can do anything with that.
Yeah, and they keep coming out with more ways to laminate them together, so it makes it impossible to recycle them, and with paper. And I also, I did want to mention, though, that, you know, this anti-plastic wave that's happening because of the awareness people have gotten of, you know, all these plastics floating in the oceans and all the dead turtles and all the dead birds. Suddenly, the paper industry is jumping on board and coming out with this concept where they're calling bio-based, basically to make all this packaging out of, you know, paper, basically bio-based material. But that's not the answer either because, well, I'll talk about that with my slow wood comment in just a moment. But, you know, we just really have to stop using so much packaging. That's the only answer.
All right. So tell us about Slowood real quick.
Yeah. EarthBuilt has unveiled a project called Slowood, which aims to shift people's thinking about wood, trees, forests, and our use of the products we make from them. We've launched a new website, slowwood.info, where you can find out more and download the criteria for Slowood. So, you know, Slowood, just think of slow food, only apply it to wood, and you'll have a sense of what slow wood is all about. Basically, we need to reduce our use of wood-based products, not increase the use of wood-based products. We've already converted the majority of the world's oak forests into either cleared them away entirely or converted them into monoculture plantations. And this is horrific. And the paper industry and all these other industries, including the timber industry, sees this as the answer to sustainability.
Yeah. Well, you can see we've got lots of issues to focus on. We'll have many more in upcoming Ecologic shows. Stay tuned.
We are out of time for this Earth Week special. We hope to we have brought you useful information. Now get out there and celebrate Mother Earth.
Woohoo! You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people who are making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and for WBAI-FM.
To listen to this show again and any of Ecologic's past shows, and to get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as the closing of the Indian Point nuclear reactors, go to www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also, to find out when our shows are posted, those of you online, please sign up for our mailing list. And those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter Eco-Logic.
There are many video and audio versions of Eco-Logic available to you for a donation to WBAI. Go to www.givetowbai.org and choose Eco-Logic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next. Or call 212-209-2950 and say you want to become a member or a BAI buddy.
That's 212-209-2950. And of course, we would love you to become a member in the name of your favorite radio program, Eco-Logic.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, everyone, for supporting Eco-Logic by becoming a member or a BAI buddy in the name of our show. It really helps us and the station. And you can see we've got lots planned, so join us.
It's a win-win.
And a big thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Tim Keating.
I'm J.K. Canepa.
And I'm Donna Stein. Thank you for joining us for this Earth Week special. See you in 2 weeks, Friday, April 30th, at our regular time, 2:30 p.m.
Jamal turns 67 years old and very poor health, well into his 40th anniversary of wrongful incarceration and fraudulent conviction, the Free Mumia Coalition, New York City, will be heading to Philadelphia on Saturday, April 24th, 10 a.m., demanding his release with mobilization for Mumia. For those who choose to stand with Mumia and abolition of the prison industrial complex, call the Free Mumia Coalition hotline for a seat on the bus. 212-330-8029. 212-330-8029. Or visit bus at freemumia.com. Black Lives Matter. Free Mumia now.
Free Mumia, Free Mumia, from the hands of the downpressed. Free Mumia.
WBAI accepts snowmobiles. If you have a snowmobile, we want it. We also want any extra cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donate-your-car.
Every Sunday night at 10, please join me then, and please support WBAI at our brand new old number, which is 212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. Hey, it's our old number, but it's new again, because everything old is new again. I like it.
The previous program was a Earth Day special of Eco-Logic, which is usually heard on Fridays at 2:30 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned for Off the Hook coming up in the next hour. And while that program is on the air, please consider becoming a supporter of this radio station by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950, or go to